And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. Today marks Juneau International Airport manager Patty Watto's final day on the job after a nearly three-decade-long career. During her tenure as both deputy manager and manager, Watto helped the airport navigate major industry changes like travel and security reforms after the 9/11 attacks. She says her retirement is bittersweet. Managing a small airport meant she never knew what she might have to do each day to ensure planes got on and off the runway safely. She recalled a particularly memorable day back in 2006.
It was snowing so hard that our airfield crew couldn't keep up with the lights. So we had some of our management crew, including myself, that were out there clearing the lights out on the runway. So you never know from day to day whether it's going to be all hands on deck out on the airfield or assisting with everything here in the office.
She announced her plans to retire late last year. The city is already searching for her permanent replacement. Former airport manager Dave Palmer will serve as interim manager. Watto says she's optimistic for the future of the airport. City leadership and the airport's board are currently updating its master plan. But she says she's curious to see how the recent federal funding cuts and workforce reduction may impact Juneau's airport directly. While federal revenue is only projected to make up about 2% of the airport's overall budget this fiscal year, millions in federal grants help pay for infrastructure and safety projects.
We don't know all of that yet. As far as we know, I think the telltale is going to be next year, next federal fiscal year, to see what happens.
Watto says she's not aware of any significant changes to the airport's federal grant funding or its workforce as she departs. But nationally, former Federal Aviation Administration employees and their union say hundreds of workers have been let go from their positions, including roles meant for aircraft safety. Watto says she's not sure how she wants to enjoy her retirement yet, but she plans to stay in Juneau. This is KTOO. And immigrants and refugees across the country are getting emails from the Trump administration that say they have to leave the United States or face prosecution. In Juneau, that's already split one family apart. 14 members of Carlu's family moved to Juneau after fleeing unrest in Haiti.
My country is not doing well right now.
She has protected status in the United States, but is using an old family nickname in this story because that protection ends in August. She says her family was heartbroken when some of them got the emails that instructed them to leave immediately. Carlu has a sister who already lives in Canada, so members of the family went quickly to join her, including her sister and daughter.
They just left because they can't stay. They are scared, and we are separated again.
They arrived in Juneau just last year, so their immigration status is not as secure as other members of the family. Carlu works as a paraeducator and has been in Juneau for more than a decade. She and her family members have built lives here. The same email has gone out to tens of thousands of people who legally entered the U.S. through a mobile app, CBB One. During the Biden administration, this app was how immigrants were able to make appointments with U.S. Customs and Border Patrol to seek asylum at legal points of entry instead of crossing the border illegally. President Donald Trump has pledged to not only end some of these temporary statuses, but revoke them before they expire. Margaret Stock is an immigration attorney in Anchorage. She said she's seen the email and she doesn't think it's legally enforceable.
The messages do not appear to actually have any legal force of law. And they don't, you know, there's no such thing as an email message ordering you to leave the country that's legally effective. You have to have like a deportation order from a judge.
Stock says it's not even clear if the people who received the email are actually on immigration enforcement's radar. The emails weren't addressed to any names. She thinks it was meant to scare people into leaving, which aligns with the Trump administration's goal to remove immigrants from the United States. But she says forcing immigrants to leave Alaska is especially damaging to the state's economy. Like Carlu, many work in fields that are understaffed.
We have huge shortages in the healthcare industry and teaching profession and assisted living facilities, service workers, the tourism industry, you know. There's like actually no sector of the economy right now, I think, that has enough workers in Alaska that I can think of.
Carlu's son helped her apply for permanent residency, but she said it was rejected because of a missed signature on one of the forms. She plans to try again. Temporary status has usually been extended for immigrants from countries where instability remains a risk to its citizens' health and safety. But Trump has vowed to end that status for Haitians, even though the dangers there haven't gone away. As of right now, she would have to leave in August. Organized crime runs Haiti, and according to Human Rights Watch, it's only getting worse. So Carlu says she can't go back.
And Haiti? I will be mothered if I go there. They will kill me. And this government is still the same. Nothing changed. Nothing. It could be a suicide if I go in Haiti.
Carlu says she likes Juno, but it's hard to see her family leave.
We was 14, and now we are 7 left.
She said she misses her daughter, but she doesn't want to leave her job as a paraeducator and the responsibility of care for her aging parents. In Juno, I'm Yvonne Krumrey. And Skagway held its International Folk Festival in mid-April, but the lack of Canadian participants made the event much less international. And the Haines Visitor Center reported its foot traffic is down. KHNS's Melinda Munson takes a look at the recent local tourism trends amid tensions with the U.S. and Canada.
From the boardroom to the factories to the trains, mama's wrenching, cutting checks and raising babes.
Magician, ukulele player, and actor Andrew Naden was the host for this year's International Folk Festival.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Skagway Arts Council's 35th annual International Folk Festival. Unfortunately, this year it is not as international as we normally have been for the last 34 years.
Unlike past years, none of the performers were from Canada. Lack of Canadians is a trend that's continuing across Skagway's social calendar. Few Canadian families attended the Easter egg hunt, a marked change from previous years. And at March's international ski event, Buckwheat, only a few Canadian residents ventured into the mountain shop, previously a favorite destination for visiting Yukoners. Here's store manager Sean Layton back in March.
This weekend is historically one of our busiest and therefore economically beneficial weekends of the year at the mountain shop. We are normally swarming with Canadians, Canadian customers that we have worked hard over the past 27 years to cultivate. We had exactly 2 Canadian customers and did less than 1/3 the business we normally do.
Haines is also seeing some changes in tourism patterns. Tourism Director Reba Hilton reported this month that foot traffic to the visitor center is down 25% compared to last year.
Well, it's just been quiet around here. Obviously, not all visitors come through the visitor center, but we're pretty active on social media and got a good following with our Yukon neighbors. And it just has been quiet.
At a recent travel show in Vancouver, Hilton reported that the U.S. aisles were mostly empty. She says normally she runs out of handouts and her voice is hoarse by the end of the day from so many conversations. As a result of the current political climate, Haines' tourism department decided to change how it spends its advertising dollars.
So shifting our marketing focus from Canada to the West Coast, and it's not so much about turning away from Canada, but it's just making sure that we're using public funds in a way that makes sense right now. And travel interests from the Canadian market has significantly declined.
Along with decreased interest in Canada to Alaska travel, Hilton has seen an increase in hostile social media posts. An Easter weekend townwide sale that offered discounts specifically to Canadians received some backlash on social media.
I've got 2 pages of comments on those that were pretty aggressive in their stance of not wanting to support anything in the United States right now, including our community and our businesses here.
But the news isn't all dismal. Richard Clement is a Haines resident and board member for the Kluane Chilkat International Bike Relay. The race takes place in June and has cycled through 31 seasons. About half the board and many of the nearly 300 volunteers are Canadians.
Our numbers are a little down this year for registrants of the relay. But I can tell you that all of our Canadian volunteers are ready to go.
Clement is optimistic and expects an exciting and unified race.
People in the Yukon don't really think of Alaskans as Americans. It's kind of funny because they think of us as Alaskans first and Americans second.
Hilton says that sales tax numbers are really the best way to track who's coming into town and what they're spending. But those numbers won't be available until later in the year. and Chicago, I'm Melinda Munson.
And as for the weather here in Juneau today, it's 50 degrees and cloudy this afternoon. This is KTOO.